Just even the prospect of some people across the water getting more involved in politics in Northern Ireland. What I decided to do at the weekend was try to understand how much depth of knowledge there is with some of the Tory MPs on the Irish border issue. So it was the Conservative Party conference taking place. I took advantage of that and spoke to the Conservative MPs, Ben Bradley and Paul Scully, about Brexit and the Irish border issue in particular. What exactly is their understanding of issues surrounding it? Well, you can work that out for yourself as you listen to these two. I began by speaking to Ben Bradley.
The big frustration is that we've never seemed to address this question. We just seem to have, on a government level, accepted what the EU said, that this is not achievable. And more we're discovering that that's not the case. Even the head of Northern Irish HMRC, the Irish Customs Organisation as well, have both said that this is soluble, and it's about managing it in the way it is already managed. There is already a border for tax, VAT, currency. It already exists, and this idea that there isn't any border there at the minute is not the case. It needs to be managing those same things using probably greater technology. But the point is,
how would the technology work?
So you already check those things anyway. Obviously, there are items that are eminently smugglable across that border as it is, things like cigarettes, where the VAT is charged differently in Ireland as it is in the UK. But we manage that currently without the need for hard border infrastructure, without the need for physical checks on the border. There are all sorts of technologies. Borders are pretty fluid around the world at the minute, and you can
But there would be free passage then. So if there's no border, would there be checks? Would people physically be checked when they were leaving Northern Ireland to go into Ireland?
Not necessarily. I think, we don't
What do you mean,
do
not necessarily? How would they walk in and out of Europe then?
Well, you would cross that line, obviously. But whether you have to do that at the border or whether you can do that at Irish ports, whether you can do that back at
What do you mean you would cross that line? This is really important. Obviously, for peace and prosperity in Northern Ireland,
absolutely,
as part of the Good Friday Agreement, some people are suggesting that this could be precarious for peace in Northern Ireland. Maybe that's over-egging it. But I'm trying to understand your thinking as to how people could walk in and out of Europe without any checks whatsoever.
Well, those checks don't have to be done at the border, do they?
So where would they be done? So I'm currently in Northern Ireland. Under your desire, you want Northern Ireland to be out of the EU. So I can drive down the road, 2 hours later, I will be in Dublin, which is part of Europe and will remain so. So if there's no checks, that means I can drive from outside the EU into the EU without any check whatsoever. Is that right?
Well, bear in mind now, we only check a very tiny, tiny, less than 1% of goods that arrive anyway. So it's not like every vehicle that is crossing that border currently is checked. That's not the case. But those checks could be
We're
done
all
in
the EU at present. The point is,
right,
when we're outside of the EU, are you suggesting that there will be no checks for people driving, walking, flying from outside the EU into the EU and vice versa?
If there are checks, they don't have to be on that border. They can be done in other places. So you could be reviewed, checked, whatever is required at Irish ports, for example. If your destination is ultimately Northern Ireland and you land in a port in the Republic, you can have checks done at ports there. You can have checks for goods and produce done at the point where they enter the Republic rather than at the point where they enter Northern Ireland.
Hold on a moment. For people currently living in Northern Ireland who want to go down to Dublin, want to go to Ireland, how will they not be stopped at the border and checked? Where will the check be?
Well, we don't, as I say, even people coming from outside of the European Union now, not everybody is checked. Very few people are physically checked when they enter the UK.
That's not true. That's just not true. So you're telling me that people coming from outside the EU are not checked when they enter the United Kingdom? Are you for real?
Not everybody. But ultimately, they're...
Anybody who flies from outside the EU into the United Kingdom, into an airport. Tell me how they're not checked at that airport.
They come in from the airports. We obviously scan people. They're
checked with their passport.
That is scary. Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
So why are you telling people they're not checked?
So not everybody who arrives in the UK is security checked, is what I'm talking about. In terms of, I'm talking about trade and smuggling and the things that we were talking about.
No, we're not talking about security checks. We're talking about movement of people here, and we're talking about goods and services. We're talking about it all.
Okay,
we've now established that people coming from outside of the EU into the United Kingdom are checked. Now, the Irish border question is central to the disagreement at the moment, which is why I'm giving you a slightly hard time about this. And I'm trying to understand your thinking now that you're supporting this Canada Plus plan. I'm trying to understand your thinking as to what you think is going to happen when anybody from outside the EU, because they could be living in England, Scotland, Wales, and fly over to Northern Ireland, no problem. They get into Northern Ireland, they're outside of the EU, and now they can drive two hours down the road and get into the EU. And you're suggesting there needs to be no checks.
I'm suggesting that those things can be done. And apologies for the confusion before. I was still talking about customs and trade, so we're talking about different things there. But I'm saying that those checks don't have to be done physically at the border in the same way as if you are travelling somewhere where you need a visa. You don't apply and sort that visa out at the border. You can do that online. You can do that at home.
Okay, so are you suggesting that people...
negotiation.
Okay, so are you suggesting that people in Northern Ireland will need a visa to go down south?
No, just an example. I don't think that would be the case.
So you've given an example that you don't think will be the case.
I can't give you this is how it will work because I'm not around that negotiating table doing it.
The purpose of the last 10 minutes of my interview, Ben. You can't give me a solution for how it would work, and yet you're supporting the deal. You don't know how it would work, but you're supporting the plan. And you want people in this country to trust you.
There are a variety of people who are experts in this. And bear in mind, it's not...
You are an elected MP. Your vote is important. Your judgment is important. Should you be supporting something on behalf of the constituents who voted for you and you haven't a clue how it will work, but you're supporting it anyway?
I trust in the people who are the experts in this, those people I talked about before, the head of HMRC in Northern Ireland, the head of the DUP, who are the Irish politicians, who, and along with many others, who say that this can
work. Say that again? The DUP are what?
The DUP say that this border scenario can be resolved.
The DUP are the Irish politicians?
Irish politicians.
You do understand that there's another party, Sinn Féin, who are equally politicians in Northern Ireland and other political parties who resent the prospect of this.
Absolutely. But there are those who come to the table and talk about it. But unless we are willing to get around the table and discuss it, we'll never know the answer to that.
So you're conceding
a huge opportunity.
So you're conceding to this one of the MPs in our country that you haven't a clue how it will work, but you're backing it anyway.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying there are a variety of options that a lot of experts around who are around the table, who are involved in these discussions, are saying could work, and that actually
sure.
we need
Tell
to be
Tell me
able
your
to
understanding.
Have
Tell me your understanding of how it will work.
I've talked about customs and trade. In terms of agreement...
No, we haven't. The Irish border question that I've put to you, to summarise, you've introduced the prospect of visas and then you've said, no, that was just an example and, of course, we wouldn't use visas. You've said that people would not be checked, are already not checked when they come from outside the EU into airports. You then conceded that that was wrong. So in terms of the Irish
about trade and customs at that point.
In terms of the Irish border question, do you understand how Canada Plus will solve it?
Canada Plus and a free trade deal in itself does not solve it.
So what
there is
does?
A requirement to have a conversation about the border in yes. order to be able to do Canada Plus.
And we've been having a conversation for the last 2 years about the border.
We haven't, though, have we? This is the thing. The European Union turned around 2 years ago and said, the point is not going to work. And we've just kind of gone with that.
Is it fair for me to say that you are relying on other Brexiteers and their understanding of how it might work, and you don't know?
Politicians are not the ones who are going to go through the options and say, this is the possibilities here. We have experts in the civil service who are experts in these things. So it will not be, you know, a group of Brexiteer politicians who sit down and make this decision.
But you don't know, do you?
At this point,
you don't know.
The important thing at this point is that we can have the conversation and those experts can get around a table and thrash that out.
The experts aren't the elected. The experts are not the elected representatives. You are an elected representative in this country. The public's votes to you should be important to you to the extent, Ben, that surely you get yourself an understanding before you back something. No?
I have an understanding.
You haven't a clue. As to the Irish border issue. You do not know, sir. You've admitted it, that you leave it to others who understand these things.
If those people who are in the position to make the decision, if those people, like as I talked about, officers of HMRC, the civil servants who are experts in this field, are not able to sit down and have a discussion that is in the public domain, how is anybody supposed to know the precise details of what it would look like?
OK, you've mentioned HMRC as one of the experts. How much has HMRC estimated the cost to business of the post-Brexit customs system would be?
I don't know the answer off the top of my head, if I'm being honest.
Do you have any reckoning?
Off the top of my head, no, I haven't.
So you're quoting HMRC. The answer is 20 billion. 20 billion, Ben.
Yep.
Is it worth it?
Well, it's a fraction of what we're going to have to pay to the European Union in the current scenario, isn't it? If it means that we can have our own independent arrangements and have a deal that works for the UK, then it is half of what we're currently agreeing to hand over for very little in return.
You're conceding that some of the issues, and my goodness, I've only raised two, that you're not sure about. If you're not sure, and you're an elected representative, is it not possible that the public are still not sure, and therefore why should they not be given the chance of another vote so that they can read further into the implications of Brexit?
We've had countless votes already. We had a general election where the referendum was on the table. We voted for a referendum. We had the referendum. We voted to leave. We had another general election where we voted to stick with the party that delivered the referendum. And actually, at this point in time, I think people are sick to death of voting on it, the vast majority of people. And I, the feedback I get, particularly in my constituency, which was overwhelmingly leave, is that this must deliver on the spirit of what we wanted, otherwise it's a big letdown for everybody involved.
But do you concede that people might have answered that question in the referendum, but they didn't know how it would work through, and many people still don't know?
People did not come to the referendum ballot box with an idea in their head about precisely what customs arrangements they were looking for. People went to that ballot box thinking, we are leaving all of those institutions. We are not clinging on to bits and pieces of it. We are leave means leave, to coin a phrase.
I'm trying to give you an opportunity to allow the public to hear how you have done your homework, how you have researched one of the biggest issues for Brexit at the moment, the Irish border question. And I'm trying to give you the opportunity to give the public your knowledge and understanding of what the EU's special status was, offer was.
Where we are at the moment is that Michel Barnier is talking about de-escalating the situation with the Irish border because they know they've ramped up too much.
What was the offer?
This is what they've been talking about. What they effectively want to do is to kick a lot of this into the long grass so that we can have discussions later on down the line.
No, that's not true.
Stephen, it is. I mean, we need
how?
To...
Explain. What are they kicking into the long grass?
Because what we need is far more detail. You know, as I say, we are going to negotiate this over the next couple of weeks and about a month or so.
Paul, let's stop there.
Withrawal agreement, yeah, then we will be able to see what's on a bit of paper, not just what is being discussed as an immovable thing.
Let's stop there. What has the EU, in terms of the offer they made for Northern Ireland to have special status,
They effectively,
what details effectively, have they kicked into the long grass?
Effectively, they're talking about, the last thing that Michel Barnier was talking about in Salzburg was talking about de-escalating the situation.
No, I'm not asking you about de-escalating a situation. I'm asking you what detail did they provide for the special status or, solution. Now, I know what it is. I'm trying to understand if you do. You've said twice you don't, and you're a member of Parliament. So the biggest, one of the biggest issues that's stopping Brexit being solved is the Irish border question. And you, sir, have very little understanding by your own admission as to what the EU has offered.
What I'm saying to you is that we don't want to have a different relationship with Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. That's been a red
line. Why not?
Because that's been a red line for the last 2 years.
But tell me why not.
What do you mean, why not?
Why do you not want Northern Ireland to have a different relationship than the rest of the UK?
I'm telling you what the UK position is.
But you tell me, as a member of Parliament, why you don't want Northern Ireland to have a different relationship.
Because I don't believe you need it. I don't believe you need it.
Why not?
I think we have got hung up on the Irish border. We can deal with this with technical checks. Or we can deal with it under the Chequers Agreement, which is basically paying different tariffs but sticking to the common rule book for goods, which actually does the vast majority of stuff that's moving between Northern Ireland.
Okay.
And
could you help me? Anyway. Could you just help address the question of why you don't think Northern Ireland should have a different arrangement than the rest of the UK?
Because I think that the agreement that we've put forward works for Ireland. It works for keeping us in step with goods, and it covers the whole gamut of Brexit that people are looking for.
Is Northern Ireland currently treated the same as the rest of the UK for livestock?
There are checks across the border. There are checks across the border that are going on at the moment in a number of different ways. So all I'm saying to you.
No, my question is Northern Ireland currently treated the same or differently than the rest of the UK?
I come back to the same. Certain things they are, some things that they're not, but mainly
not.
Mainly they are.
What's not?
They are sitting there.
What is not?
There are checks on the border already. There are checks on the border already, whether it's VAT checks and these sort of things, and there is already apparatus on the border. What we don't want to do is to create more checks on the border, and because that's something that's already been said
The EU's offer would mean that Northern Ireland would remain in the UK, but would also be able to trade as part of the EU.
If you had a Northern Ireland Assembly, I think this is something that we could work out on a devolved assembly. As it happens, we don't have one at the moment. This is something that we
and so therefore people in. Like you are in charge.
No, I'm not in charge.
Yes,
I'm
you are. You're a member of Parliament. It's a very valuable title. There's a lot of worth to it.
It is
why I'm trying to question how much value you're putting on.
So let me explain to you what the value is. The value is that when there is a deal, when there is a withdrawal agreement that has been agreed, I will read that. I will decide on that. I will listen to people.
You've already rejected it.
No.
Yes.
No, what I'm telling
sorry.
You...
Yes, you no, have already
Stephen,
rejected...
what I'm telling you is the government position. The government position is that they are pushing forward with the Chequers proposal that is there.
That's the government position, but there are other MPs, both within the Tory party and elsewhere, who are sitting down and trying to have an opinion of their own. Now, right. Are you following like a sheep, or do you actually know what you're talking about tonight?
What I want is a pragmatic solution. I want one that's deliverable. What I don't want to do is have some sort of ideological position that is not deliverable, frankly, because I think you have a lot where you have a lot of problem at the moment is that you have people that are trying to get an ideologically pure Brexit, which actually, frankly, risks. Going the total opposite and extending Article 50, which I think will be a bit of a disaster because there's no necessary end to that. You get to the never-ending stage of that. You get the people that don't want to leave.
Your best to get off the Irish border question here, Paul, aren't you?
Because I want to see the details, Stephen. I've told you this. I told you this. I'm not going to sit there and give you a final opinion on something that
you've
I haven't seen the detail.
You've given a final opinion. You
what
have
it is.
Rejected. You've told me
what
that
I've
you
told
have
you,
rejected
Stephen.
The what EU's I've... proposal St- that Northern Ireland would have special status.
Stephen, I think we're going a little bit circular on this. What I've said to you is
I'm just going circular. I'm going round and round that magic roundabout
position,
to see if you can give me any detail
the
on one
position,
of the biggest blocks on Brexit being solved.
The government position is pushing forward with the Chequers Agreement. And that's the only one that's on the table. That's the only one that's been negotiated.
It's not the only one that's on the
and
table.
And when it comes back...
That's
well,
also not true. It's,
no,
it's
but
not the only
EU,
one that's on the table.
The EU
because
have not,
you've got the
EU
Calendar
not,
Plus plan being pushed by the likes of the former Foreign Secretary.
But that's... Yeah, but he's not negotiating. What you have is you have a government negotiating with Michel Barnier. They are the two, you know, the Canada Plus is interesting and it's a valid, absolute valid contribution to the debate. But what you need to do is you need to make sure that the people that are proposing that actually, frankly, do the politics around this and how this is actually ever going to change.
Well, that's the understanding from those two MPs. We can talk about this on Twitter today, at Stephen Nolan.